T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Miami Sports Radio 560.
Hey, all guests appearing on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM appear on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. We go out to that hotline and talk with Ira Winderman, covers the Miami Heat and the NBA for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. So, Ira, were you most invested last night in LaVar Ball on Monday Night Raw, Big Three League with Ice Cube, the NBA Awards Show, College World Series? What was on in the Winderman household yesterday?
You know what? Because I'm involved in the business, I did start in with watching some Big Three, and I've got to tell you that, and I heard your first segment, the style of the game, it's intriguing.
Yeah.
I can see certain players. The one thing we enjoy in basketball is when you get in the half court and you're working your offense, well, it cuts out all the other BS and advancing the ball and all that. You don't get the high-flying plays because you're not playing in transition, so it plays to an older crowd. I'm really curious when it becomes an Olympic event in the next summer game, how it's played there to sort of see the nuances, because this is sort of a hybrid of retirement tour slash experiment in 3-on-3. And Alex, I think that's the problem. What we saw yesterday was a bunch of, I don't want to say this negatively, but old-timers, and then a few sort of younger players sprinkled in who really made the difference. And so, again, I think this league is a flash in the pan. But if it's to endure, what does it want to be? Does it want to expose 3-on-3 basketball as here? Hey, here's an interesting hybrid. You could have NASCAR racing. You could have IndyCar racing. This is a different form of basketball. Or does it want to be this old-timers tour that clearly will have its limits, just like I remember when Major League, when baseball tried it and they had their old-timers games and everyone got injured. So I watched that first. I turned in the awards to see what it was going to be like. I had been pushing for years. This is what the NBA should do, have a celebration, have a night. I thought it fell flat because I think we would have celebrated so much of the individual stories. And instead, it was so rapid-fire that this year, I don't think guys got their due, except for Russell Westbrook for winning the awards. I checked out the LaVar Ball stuff, which was
so great.
Fabulous.
Yes.
Because he belongs in pro wrestling. That's where he should have been from the get-go. And I hope it's not just a one-time thing when the tour rolls into town. I mean, my God, what other player's dad is taking off his shirt in the ring? So I thought that was terrific. And because I have a son who's a Gator, I truly enjoyed the College World Series, hoping for one more tonight.
You've totally read my mind with the LaVar Ball stuff. The same thing I was thinking, Ira, when I didn't catch it live last night, but I watched the clips this morning.
It was great.
And
it
I'm thinking, great. Man, I hope this becomes like at least a semi-regular thing. Like, I'm not saying LaVar Ball needs to become heavyweight champion, but if every month or so this guy does a run-in, works an angle on Monday Night Raw, I think it would be great for ratings, great for entertainment, because he is a natural at that.
This is WrestleMania. This is a WrestleMania moment right here, and they've got to weave him into the script. And Vince McMahon is way too smart not to do that also. I thought it was absolutely terrific because what you have is a preposterous personality in a preposterous sporting venue. It was absolutely perfect. And I saw the numbers were posted. I mean, Raw just killed everything yesterday by like a 3-1 almost.
Now, Ira, something you've written about in the South Florida Sun Sentinel this afternoon. In Chicago, they are on a form of Wade watch. Even though Wade has opted in, he may get bought out. What's the latest on that, Ira? Chicago now playing hardball.
Yeah, you know, it's obvious from both sides. This is not the Bulls team Dwayne Wade signed up for. This is not the Dwayne Wade the Bulls signed up for. So it's a matter of, you know, again, the fact that Dwayne opted in for the money shows that the money was first. Because he could have waited. His deadline was after the draft. Everyone knew that Jimmy Butler, if he was going to get traded, most likely would be traded around the draft. So if it was all a matter about basketball fit and everything, Dwayne could have just said, okay, won't take the money, but by gosh, I'm going to play in the place I want to be. No, He took the money. So now the question is, how much is he going to give back? Well, the one thing we know about Dwayne and money, he don't give a lot back. When you think about it, it was probably maybe $4 million total that pushed him over the Heat's brink with his two-year deal he took in Chicago, turned down a little bit more in Denver. So if he gives back $3-5 million, I don't know if that's enough. But the Bulls are saying, wait a minute, we're not going to pay you $19 million not to play. So it's a matter of how far does Dwayne want to go to get his freedom? And Alex, the irony is, if he goes like a 50-50 split, he could have stayed in Miami for that exact same amount of money over 2 years and never gone through this. So I think on principle, he won't give back much at all, because on principle, it was all about the money last summer.
Now, I know you may not give the answer that Mark Hochman is hoping to hear if he's driving listening right now, but if Dwayne does get bought out, where does he end up? Cleveland?
I think if Dwayne gets a buyout, I think he sits back and sees how do other teams reshape themselves. If Cleveland, for example, gets a Paul George or someone, then I think Dwayne realizes there's not a spot for him to still be relevant. And then, you know, you're really talking about being a coattails kind of player, almost like being the equivalent of like a Mike Miller with Miami. If Chris Paul doesn't stay with the Clippers, I don't think he goes anywhere to join his good friend in another venue, San Antonio or Houston. Depends what happens with Carmelo. So I think Dwayne will sit back and say, okay teams, the one lesson I learned, I signed too soon with the Bulls, didn't realize what they actually thought about Jimmy Butler for the long run. This time, let's talk in September. It almost reminds me when Gary Payton joined the Heat before that championship season in late September, when he said, hey, good spot, Shaquille O'Neal, we have a chance, I'm going there. So yeah, it could be the Heat. If the Heat make the right moves, if there's a Hayward, if there's something good there, and they lose Dion Waiters, and they have to trade Josh Richardson or Tyler Johnson so where he could see a role for himself and something meaningful in a playoff chance, yeah, I think Hochman can start the dialogue all over again. Lord help us.
And Ira, you mentioned the name Hayward. Once free agency begins, how far do you think the Heat commitment will go to try and woo him to Miami? What do you expect his interest level could be?
I think his interest level will be he's going to do the tour. I mean, last year we knew that when Kevin Durant did the tour that there were predominant favorites, and there was Golden State and maybe there was Boston, and you knew who the front runners were. I think when LeBron did his tour, at least he made it seem more open-minded in 2010, even if he was committed to the Heat with Dwayne and Chris. So I think the Heat will be one of three or four teams, obviously Utah, Boston, Miami, maybe a couple of more, that will be in there for the deliberation process. But the Heat are also going to have to be in the door with Blake Griffin at the same time, and they're going to have to deal with their own players. It's going to be the ultimate juggling, where I doubt you are going to get any Heat people on the record to say what the plan is, because you know what the plan is? The plan is the result. Whatever the result is, just like in the draft, this is who we wanted all along. That's what the plan is going to be. They're going to get done with free agency, and they're going to say, this is what we wanted.
You know, Ira, if Danny Ainge in Boston is able to pull off his master plan to sign Gordon Hayward and acquire Paul George via trade, if you can get both of those guys there and put them on a team with Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, Al Horford, do you think that lineup would be good enough to beat the Cavs in the East?
Yeah, I think there's a certain vulnerability of the Cavaliers. I think there's a certain weariness of having been to the finals and only gotten that one championship in three visits. So, yeah, I think the opening will be there. We won't know until we know, obviously, in the playoffs. But it will very much position Boston that this is their move. And again, if they get Paul George and they can't free the extra cap space they need by tearing down the roster and letting so many elements of that roster go, then Paul George is going to have to wait for his new contract till after the year. So it could be one of those ultimate rental scenarios that we have to wait and see. But, I mean, don't kid yourself. If you're adding Gordon Hayward and Paul George, you are much, 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 much better than you previously were, and you already won the Eastern Conference regular season title.
You know, Ira, going back to the Miami Heat here, as we're talking with Ira Winderman, covers the Heat in the NBA for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. No love for Magruder, for the all-rookie team. Not enough love for Hassan Whiteside. No love for James Johnson on the all-defensive team. Were these guys snubbed?
I think the most egregious one was Rodney Magruder. For a team that finished at 500 to start the third most games, I think the total was 65 games for a team like that. How do you not make it when 10 rookies are selected and you probably can't even name three or four and know three or four at the bottom of that list? I think that was the most egregious. I think the other guys sort of fell into place. Hassan Whiteside defensively this year took a step back from what people wanted because he played more positional defense. He rebounded this year instead of block shots. That didn't surprise me. I thought James Johnson finished high enough, as he should have, for six-man award, so I can understand that. I didn't see him as the kind of defender that other people are saying with various metrics. I just didn't see him as one of the league's ultimate defensive stoppers on a Kawhi or Draymond basis. And I think Eric Spoelstra slotting into two, I got to be honest with you, I thought it was very generous. I mean, think about it. Look, Mike D'Antoni was the winner. His team went to the playoffs. They reinvented themselves. But look at the season that Brad Stevens had. I mean, he won the regular season Eastern Conference Championship. Remember, that's when the voting was done. I thought he deserved some love. I thought what Greg Popovich did, sitting all his players and having the great regular season that they did, I thought he deserved some. So I think Eric Spoelstra was very well placed there and sort of honored by the media when they pushed him second. But again, the Heat are 41-41. They didn't make the playoffs in a league where 16 of 30 teams did, where all it took was a 500 record and tiebreaker to make it. So I do think there's a certain minimal qualification. Of all the guys, I agree from the outrage from both Josh Richardson and Udonis Haslam when it came to Rodney Magruder. Just because people in the electorate didn't know who he was doesn't mean that Rodney Magruder wasn't deserving of at least second team All-NBA.
Yeah, Ira, going back to last Thursday night when the Heat select Bam Adebayo with the 14th overall pick, I was a little surprised how much, I don't know what you would call it, hate, how much scrutiny there was on social media, because first of all, people out there act like they know more than Pat Riley does, and just because Adebayo may not have been top 14 in the mock drafts doesn't mean this isn't a good pick. But, I mean, how much of that scrutiny is legitimate, Ira? Because I know that there were, you know, rebounding issues for him in the first half of the season last year, and maybe he was a little bit of a late bloomer in John Calipari's system. How do you sum up that pick last week?
You know, I all the people who complain, I've gone over the last week and said this. Okay, who else?
Yeah.
And when you look at the list of people drafted after him, I'll just go through some of the names right in that neighborhood. Justin Jackson went at 15, sort of a Winslow-like player, maybe as polished as he's going to be anyway, might have hit his upside. Justin Patton would have been another center at 16, the Creighton center. DJ Wilson, the power forward from Michigan. TJ Leaf, a one-dimensional shooter when you already can bring back on bird rights Luke Babbitt. John Collins, hey, heck of a local story down here from West Palm, but a post-oriented center. Harry Giles has the knee issues. The one guy who intrigued me, if you're asking me, Ira, who would you have taken if you were going to take a flyer? I would have said Terrence Ferguson, the guard who played in Australia last year.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderfully athletic. I think you look for those kind of players. And the other safe pick, maybe O.J. Anunoby from Indiana, a two-way player I could see sort of as a Marvin Williams type of player. But what I'm saying is, there was not a moment after that pick was made that I had sort of the Jay Billis top remaining players where I said to myself, oh no, they missed out. They should have got this guy or that guy. That doesn't mean that there won't be someone there who emerges as a player. But to me, this wasn't like when the Heat, for example, took Darrell Wright and Jameer Nelson was there at the next pick. Mm. And right away, people were going, wow, Pat Riley really stretched on that one. And you know what? Pat Riley really did stretch on that one. I don't think this is the case. I think you realize in the NBA draft where everyone wanted the tankathon, there's a reason for that. You need to get in that top five picks to have a real clear-cut prospects, or else you're really drafting on potential.
You know, Ira, you just touched on something that's actually going to be a topic later in the show when I do my top three. For a guy who's covered this team every year, what would you say is the most disappointing Heat draft pick of all time? Was it Michael Beasley? I don't blame Riley for that one, but where would you go with this?
Well, I think Beasley because of the fact that he was drafted number two. But, I mean, I probably would go for the fact, I know this dates me a little, Alec Kessler.
Mm.
They traded for him, I think it was in 1990. They had the number three pick, which turned out to be Chris Jackson, Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf. They traded back. They wound up combining Alec Kessler and Willie Burton. They drafted a player who didn't like to play basketball. He went on to medical school, became a terrific doctor up in the Charlotte area, but he didn't love the game. And I remember Billy Cunningham coming to a Heat practice and training camp and sitting there with John Havlicek and saying, you've got to see this guy. This kid is terrific. He's like one of the original stretch fours, and he just never panned out. There were other guys who didn't pan out, but you could see, hey, this is why they drafted Michael Beasley. We did, Alex, see some of those moments.
Yeah.
Let's face it, Michael still built a career, and at the end of the day, he might outlast Derrick Rose, the number one pick in that draft. Yes,
great point.
Westbrook went after. Yes, you know, Lopez went after. I understand all those picks. But to me, it's the pick who just isn't a basketball player when you know that right away. Jarrell Wright was still young, but you know what? Jarrell Wright built a career for himself. He played for the Sixers. He played for the Warriors. He was able to last in the league, which tells you that there was something there, just like with Michael Beasley. I think the Alec Kessler pick was so disappointing because of what they thought he was and because of who he wasn't.
Love it. Follow this man on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat. Check out his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel, sunsentinel.com. Ira, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Oh, next week, free agent frenzy.
Woo!
It's going to be crazy. Thank you, Alex.
I'm pumped for that. Great stuff there from Ira.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.